level set by saying it's amazing when you teach a class like this how many people think it's your class you're teaching and not the book in front of you. I got great feedback from both sides of the aisle, both those that believe in credit cards and those that believe in no credit cards. And personally, I have made the mistakes of Mark. I'll never make them again. I do have a house that's not quite paid for. I have a rental property that's not quite paid for, so I believe in some debt, an appropriate debt, and leveraging debt to create wealth, but you really got to be careful in how you do that. In this story, though, issue that remained was, did Mark grow from this or not? And so what we're trying to do this evening is get away from the case study. Now I'm hot. Got a hot mic. Get away from the case study and focus more on the grace growth. Is he growing in grace? How can we take this case study and learn from it and point the conversation towards grace? So if you'll help me do that tonight, I would appreciate it. So again, we'll start in 2 Peter, but let's bow for a prayer. We're thankful, good Father, for this another opportunity we have to assemble as a family, to study from your word, and to learn from it and grow by it. And we pray, Father, as we focus on these scriptures this evening, that we'll use them to strengthen ourselves and to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ as we're about to study. We're thankful, Father, for all that are here that are well and healthy, and we pray, Father, for those that aren't, those that may be spiritually sick, that you would strengthen them and help us to see those people and their needs so that we can encourage them as well. For those that are physically sick, that you would remove the obstacles from them being well, and we pray, Father, that we can recognize those as well and assist in any way that we can. We're thankful, Father, above all, for the gift of Christ, for your sacrifice in sending your only Son, and for his sacrifice in giving up his life for the remission of our sins. And we pray that we'll focus, have the due diligence to study hard, to meditate upon your word and the things that we're studying through the week. Again, bless us in these efforts. In Christ's name, amen. All right, 2 Peter chapter 3. Just want to also point out that if I don't see your hand, please speak my name, and I'll try and get to it. I missed some people on Sunday, but there were hands everywhere, and your field of view is limited to the people you are familiar with more than those that you aren't. So please don't let me miss you if you have something to say. All right, 2 Peter 3, verse 18. Let me see. I have this before this. Here we go. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To be him the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. And let's just back up for context to 1 Peter 1 verse 5 to 11. For this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and with virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfast, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective and unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way there will be richly provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And just so you know, I do have glasses. I am nearsighted in certain instances. But I blew the iPad up so you wouldn't notice. All right. So as we look at these scriptures, how does this affect our case study? Anybody have insights where he's going with these initial verses? All right. Obviously, he didn't exercise self-control. He was not working on supplementing his faith with some self-control. Paul?
Self-control, but not perseverance.
All right.
He changed
for a time. Initially, you didn't exercise self-control, but I see where you're going there. He did, for a time, realize that he had moved on from that and had made some adjustments. As I was thinking through this case study all week, trying to prepare for class, Brother Ben's lesson on the weightier things kept popping into my mind. How could Mark possibly do those weightier things, love the Lord your God and your neighbor as yourself, and show you love your neighbor as yourself and your brethren, if you're so over-leveraged that you can't financially support the work of the church or, helping somebody in need? That's one of the things that in this case study we see. If you're over-leveraged, you're not able to do those weightier things and show your love for one another because you don't have the resources available. So in this question, what does it mean to grow in grace? Go ahead. Very good. Study is definitely a part of that, because in this scripture, we have to grow in the knowledge of grace and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in Romans 3. Very good answer.
And just to piggyback on that, there is the idea of as we study, as we learn, as we come to an understanding, that understanding deepens our appreciation of what's been done for us. And I think as you go back into 1 Peter here, having that understanding of where we were and what we've been cleansed from. But if we look at this case study, he forgot that. He had not grown in that appreciation of the grace that was given to him. I think that's where, if we're truly going to grow in grace, we grow in that understanding, that appreciation, that love for Christ, because we have a deeper understanding of what he's done for us. And in turn, we want to share that with others.
Fantastic. Deeper understanding that comes through study and the knowledge of him. And that's, the second or third verse there. We have to have that knowledge of him and what he's done for us. We can't show grace if we don't understand the grace that we have. Tony.
So a couple of one random thing and then a comment from Terry Lynn. I thought it was interesting that both in 1 Peter and in 2 Peter, verse 2, the bookends for the book are really about grace and knowledge multiplied in verse 2, and then grow in grace in chapter 3 and verse 18. So there's Peter's desire for the brethren to have more and more grace. Terry Lynn was making the observation, though, that in order to receive grace, you have to open yourself by recognition of where you are in need of grace. And the less that you think you need from God, the less grace you're going to grow in. The more that you try to do for yourself, the less grace you think you need. And so part of growing in grace has got to be thinking less and less and less about my ability to do this for myself, and more about what God is doing and can do for me.
Very well said. You read the teacher's manual, didn't you? And I say that because in the summation on the teacher's manual, of course, I looked at that. What Brother Tony is just said is the win that we're supposed to be going towards tonight, is understanding that path of under the grace that we receive, and understanding how big that is. I mentioned last Sunday that, it is an important thing that I didn't realize early on in my Christianity. I was all top book book, chapter, and verse on everything and didn't receive the study of grace like I should have. Go ahead, Grant.
So, to piggyback on Tony's comment, you know, I think when we realize where we came from, that's part of it. When we realize where we're at, that's part of it. When we realize where we're going, that's part of it. And all of that is in understanding grace. I get all three of those things when I'm in my Bible, when I'm in the Word. If I'm outside of the Word, if I go without spending time thinking about what God has done for me, what He is currently doing for me, what He is going to do for me, then I start thinking about me again and get on Facebook and realize that, you know, I don't have everything everybody else does and start getting selfish again. And I think for a case study in particular, maybe that's, you know, this guy's problem is it said he had a problem with covetousness. And so when we aren't truly in the Word, and maybe he has a faith problem too, just in believing that those things have been done and that those things are going to be done and that God is currently working in his life as we speak.
Fantastic. And I think, you know, the first chapter of 2 Peter, it's a compounding thing. We're supposed to be working diligently on all of those characteristics that improve us as followers of Christ. Yes?
The problem is a sin problem. And God's got the answer for the sin problem, and I don't.
Very good, Terry Lynn. And identifying that sin is one of the challenges in this lesson. He mentions the sin himself, covetousness. A visitor, Sean, who is sitting in the back that I failed to see because of his position, mentioned that, you know, living beyond his means was something that nobody ever said that phrase, although it was mentioned in different ways. And so, you know, covetousness is it. Self-control is another one. Yes, sir. We're still on number one.
All right, what I have done is learn more about what God and Christ wants you to do as a Christian and do it.
Absolutely right. And in doing so, 2 Peter 1:5, you will abound and never fall. Don't believe that means you'll never make mistakes, but you'll have the foundation behind you because of these characteristics to be able to grow. I don't think we can sum it up any better. Let's move to question two. What will we work on to grow in God's grace according to the scripture we just read? How many of those were there? How many characteristics? Anybody count them? I think there are seven. Seven characteristics. And they're to supplement our faith. So, you know, we have to have faith to start with and have an idea of what that faith is. You know, faith is believing that God exists and he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And it's amazing how many times this scripture uses the word diligent in pursuing these characteristics as well. And it puts a dichotomy between those that grow in these aspects and those that don't. The ones that don't are unfruitful. The ones that do are fruitful. I saw a hand. Yes, ma'am.
We have to be steadfast. We can't read the Bible 1 week and go a month and read it the next week.
She says we have to be steadfast and diligent, persistent, you know, every single day, as Grant said. You know, studies indicate that if you only look at the Word once a week, you basically don't change who you are. Twice a week, maybe, but four times is the magic number where you start being changed by God's Word in a real way. You may understand Scripture differently once or twice a week, but when you're in the Word on a daily basis, it changes your fundamental person for the positive. God knew what he was talking about when he said to study daily. Study seemed to agree with God. I would put God first and study second. And I think that was on Facebook somewhere too. Not a big fan of Facebook, but it was there. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, I was looking at this chapter 1 again about these things that we add to our faith. And as we continue in our faith toward God, God's grace will increase and abound more and more as we continue to grow. But you know, right after that is brought out, verse 5 through 11, if you look at verse 12, Peter went on to say, "For this reason I will not be negligent to remind you always of these things." And then even in verse 13, he said, "Yes, I think it is right, as long as I'm in this tent, to stir you up by reminding you." And then verse 15, "Moreover, I will be careful to ensure that you always have a reminder of these things." So he mentions the word reminding them of these things that you add to your faith. And then when you get over to chapter 3, he says, "Grow in grace and knowledge." I mean, without knowledge, we cannot grow. There's no growth without knowledge. So it all just ties in with what we see in chapter 1. But I believe he wants to remind them, don't forget these things.
That is the point of the lesson. We can't grow. We can't grow in grace. We can't grow in knowledge without diligent effort on our part. We can't do it on ourselves, by ourselves. God does it through us, and we have to put our effort in as well. You know, in this case study, Mark had grown. We hope he grew past the covetousness and into a different place. He had opportunity to do that growth, but you know, as these case studies are, we don't know the full scenario, and they do that on purpose to get us to think. And I will report to Edwin that it causes lots of trouble teaching this class. All right. Just a side note, my kids worship where he preaches. He did my daughter's wedding. The fun part about that, he did it with Princess Bride voice to start. Yes. Anyway, it's a sidetrack. All right. So as Tim just said, the result of growing in these characteristics is understanding through the knowledge of Jesus Christ how we are so richly blessed. And we're supposed to be increasing day by day in these things. And, you know, I practice them just like we all should be doing. Each of these is a struggle, some more of a struggle than the rest. We don't use virtue much in our everyday language. Anybody want to define virtue for me?
Moral courage.
Moral courage. Uprightness was the other translation I looked at, but I liked moral courage better. Having courage to do what's right and be the right person. And if we call ourselves Christians, and if we are Christians, that moral courage should be fairly easy for us to do. But even those that seemed to have courage, the apostles, when put in a pickle, ran and fled. And so we need to make sure our courage is fine-tuned and refined with God's word behind it. Just like Jesus, when he was tempted, he had scripture that helped him push the devil off. All right, let's look at question 4. If we are to grow in the above characteristics, what does that mean about where we are today? Always room for improvement. Are we at the beginning, middle, or end?
We don't know.
I pondered that quite a bit. You don't know. And you know, when the end comes, I guess we'll have a heavenly body and heavenly insight on where we actually were. But I think we'll all be disappointed on where we think we are and where we actually are. Brother Noble?
You know, if you take this and Now, this is a spiritual realm we're talking about. If you take that and just bring it over into the physical, you can really see the parent and the child. The child is blessed by the grace of the parent. Everything that they receive is grace. And you take the spoiled child, the rebellious child, the selfish child that has no faith in their parent and no respect for the parent. You know what? You can see what turmoil that brings into the home. And until that is corrected, the child is on a path to just self-destruction. So what has to happen somehow, the child has to develop a respect for the parent and a discipline for self. And if you take that in, you're talking about our present situation. You know, the Bible speaks to the end time. They're disobedient to parents, what have you. And if you go back to the destruction of Jerusalem, when Christ pictured that generation, he said, what will I like in this generation? Like children playing in a marketplace, saying, we talked to you and you didn't dance, or we sang to you and you didn't dance, or we talked to you, we sang a dirge to you and you didn't weep, and we talked to you and you didn't dance. Self-centered children, they expected everything to happen as they would have it to do. So, I have some serious concerns for the present world. It's a worldwide thing.
Everybody hear him okay? Yes and no? He compared the spiritual realm, father-child relationship, and spoiled children are, you know, what we are. And we, until we understand that everything that a child gets is grace from the parent, just like God's grace for us, you know, that's the relationship he was creating. We're nothing but spoiled children, and we need to recognize the grace of God being bestowed upon us. Yes, Paul.
Growth, I also think of father and child relationships, because if you take, for example, self-control, when I just think about myself, I tend to think about what I'm good at about self-control. But when I'm with my children, they tend to help me see where I'm not very good at self-control. And there are aspects of these that we are all good at, but if that's all we ever focus on, we may forget that there's more to self-control than just the things about it that you're good at.
That's a good point. Yes?
I think that this is probably, to me, the most important question in this entire lesson. And everyone has to answer for himself on each and every characteristic. And if we're not growing, I mean, if we do a truthful self-examination, then we're going to know where we are in our growth. And, as I said, there's always room for improvement. But yeah, we have to really look, you know, brotherly kindness and love and self-control, all of those are so very important. I mean, if you exceed diligently in these, then you'll never fall. My goodness, why wouldn't each one of us want to do the best we can to develop these traits?
Beautifully said. Beautifully said. And I have nothing more to say, except I'll try harder. You know, one of the struggles is the lens with which we see ourselves. We have lying bathrooms. We think we seem good in the shower and we look good in the mirror. But do we evaluate ourselves according to Scripture with the proper lens? That is, the Scripture being that lens. Good point. Anybody else? All right, let's turn to Philippians 2:12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only in my presence, but much more in my absence, Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And then just skipping down to 3:12. Not that I have already obtained this, Paul's saying, or am perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. And so as we look at the next few questions, those two scriptures are what we'll be focusing on. And the next question is, was Paul perfect? He's an apostle. Yes, Gary. God's perfect. Paul was not perfect, but God is. But Paul knew his imperfections. And just like us, and just like Sister Mary just said, had the same evaluation he had to do. He pressed on to the goal. He went every day increasing in his faith, and of course, had the grace of God behind him. Again, we want to focus in on that grace aspect. Paul was confident that he had earned the crown. He understood grace fully, but he was still not perfect. He admitted his imperfections. But the grace of God abounds in his life and in his work, and we have that handiwork here as well. Anybody have any comments on that? Are we going to mess up? Everybody messes up. And Mark, in this case study, may have messed up. The teacher's manual, just by the way, points out that Mark did mess up. He ignored the wise counsel of the elders in his taking this new credit card. Whether he did or didn't, book suggests that he did, but everybody messes up. And we all have to just pick up and do our best and understand God's grace and forgiveness and take the next step. We can't let messing up stop us in our growth and in our salvation. Anyone else? All right. Yes, sir.
I keep reading over this case study. I may be repeating what somebody else said because I can't hear half what's going on. Tim pointed out three verses, I think, that had reminder in it.
Yes.
And I keep going over this case study, and I don't see where he initiated the contact. He initiated the contact with the elders to begin with. But yet I can't find any place in there where the elders came back to him to check and see how things were going. There was no reminder there. And I think that happens not only with this case study, but a lot of times it happens with new Christians. We get them in a seat, get them in the house, and let them fend for themselves. We don't remind them what this is really all about.
I appreciate those comments. Can't disagree with you a bit. It doesn't say in the case study one way or the other. It is a short couple of paragraphs. That's the problem with case studies. But it's a great point to be made. We don't. And I don't know what more to say about that. And maybe we can do better about that. We need to nurture and grow each other of all maturity states in the church. Next part of this question, Paul admits to being a mistake, making mistakes, and not being perfect. If you were to die in that state of imperfection, where was he going? Oh.
Grace of God in heaven.
Absolutely. And that is how we need to summarize this whole case study. By grace of God, grace is bigger than we can imagine. The God's grace, love, and mercy abounds over and over in the Scripture. I mentioned 150 to 170 times, depending on this version of Bible you're reading from. Grace is mentioned. Sometimes in bookends as a salutation or an aloha, whichever you prefer. And sometimes specific studies around grace. But it's a big deal. It is as big as anything else in Scripture. Yes, Gary. That happens to me. I can't let that happen up here.
No, I do. I think if we did it to Pharaoh, then we would have to worry about going to heaven.
Preparing ourselves is preparing for heaven. It's a good point. We have to be better prepared. So let's go on. I think we have, what, just a few more minutes? I think we finished up that second part there. If Paul were to die in the imperfect state, where would he go? And the answer is grace abounds. By the grace of God, he, just like us, we are assured of crown of righteousness. And he was assured of that and stated so. So let's look at the daily living in grace. Growing in grace implies that we will depend more on God's grace when you've been a Christian for 25 years. Wow, I can't even read. Maybe I'm nearsighted. Growing in grace implies that you will depend more on God's grace when you've been a Christian for 25 years than at 25 days. Why would that be?
Learn to depend on God's grace. And so the young Christian doesn't grasp that. You know, at 25 days, I didn't grasp that. I can tell you that for sure.
Yeah. And that because they haven't spent the time in the Word. Sister Jenny?
Basically, what Greg said, but one that has been a Christian for 25 days, no matter the age of the person, is a babe in Christ. And a babe just basically understands the milk of the Word. So it takes a while to grow, increase in growth, and learn all the things that one needs to know. And I think that's why grow in the faith is very important, the study. We can't just know all that there is in one setting. It's a constant growth.
Absolutely. That's why Brother Glenn's comment is so important. Is sometimes you need some help going down the growing path. You can't just be left to yourself to do that. You'd be floundering around. There's, you know, a better path to growth, especially when you have some wisdom directing you. Yes, sir.
Grace doesn't come unless there's repentance first. You don't automatically get God's grace when you sin. The grace is the fact that if you repent, then God's grace will come into effect, but not unless repentance is there first.
Should we continue in grace, sin, that grace may abound? Paul answers that, God forbid. Yep. And just a reminder, not excluding other scriptures when we're talking about grace here. We're on a subject, but no exclusion of any other authority or biblical standards. We're just focused here. Hope you didn't miss, I didn't give that impression that I was ignoring the sin aspect and repentance aspect. If God's grace is the power to overcome sin, what does it mean for you to depend on God's grace? Go ahead, Grant. You're looking at me with a smile, so that's raising your hand.
To depend on his power to forgive, to depend on his mercy, his unmerited favor that he shows me, even though I fail time and time again, to know that, he still looks at me like his son and wants me to get back up, wear his name all the same, even though I just failed, and work for him.
Yep.
An understanding we fall into sometimes, this idea where we don't fully grasp Romans 7:24, wretched man that I am. You know, who will deliver me from this body of death? And then we stop. We stop there.
Yeah.
Because we don't truly depend on God's grace, we've forgotten that verse 25 says, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We forget that, oh, I know I'm wretched, I know I'm a failure, I know I've done things that I can't make up the difference for, but I can continue living confidently and depend on Him because of Jesus. You know, we sometimes just stop, we cut it off, and we forget about, and we need that reminder, as we talked about, we need that reminder on a constant basis that I can continue to live faithfully, confidently, and develop all these characteristics in my life because of Jesus.
Absolutely right. That because of Jesus, because of His grace. I think we summed up pretty well. It's God's grace that gives us the ability to see the whole picture. And our job is to grow in that grace and continue to see the bigger picture of God's love. Yes, Brother Noble, finish up for us.
Okay. I'll pass on.
Oh, come on. We got a minute.
Okay. I just want to say, if you want to really get a feel for God's grace, from God's side of it, get an old hound dog that is real hard-headed and decide you're going to train that dog and you're going to be like God, you're going to have grace and patience. And the more sin abounds, the more grace is going to abound in our heart. And try to train that dog and maintain that. It's I thought about that often. It's I've had a few old dogs along. It's just like God trying to handle me. You know, when sometimes it gets really hard.
So what you're saying is, when we're stubborn, sometimes we need discipline. Very good. Well, thank you all for your patience and putting up with me teaching. I hope and pray Chris makes it back and doesn't make me do it again.